Gardening tips on Basingstoke Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
You're listening to Basingstoke Radio Community Connections with me, Dave, on a Tuesday morning. And as usual, I've got Claire, the garden editor, on telephone. Good morning to you, Claire. How are you? All right?
I'm very well, thank you, Dave. How are you keeping?
I am fine. Absolutely spiffing. Right. Now, today, this is quite an interesting one, isn't it, really? It's what's the title of your podcast today? What's the title of your episode today?
Well, I thought this is something which I've been thinking about quite a bit, and I thought it'd be useful to kind of share with you and the listeners, which is things I wish I'd known when I started gardening.
If only I knew now what I knew then, or something like that.
Exactly. And I think many of us have these reflections, don't we? Whatever aspect of our lives. What do I wish? Yeah. And someone asked me this question. I thought it's a really, really good question. I should give some thought to it. Because I don't know if you remember, Dave, that I didn't grow up gardening. I didn't have anyone kind of teaching me. Like, you know, you hear about lots of these people who, like, you know, there might be a grandparent involved and they kind of trot round and like harvest tomatoes. I didn't have anything like that. I got into gardening in my 20s when it was deeply uncool and unfashionable. And I just started up, you know, small and made so many mistakes and then went and did courses and learned and all the rest of it. But I did a lot in the early years through trial and error. And my goodness, there was so much error. And I thought it would be interesting to kind of look back a bit and think about what I wish I'd known now. What would I tell past Claire and maybe other listeners who are just starting out on gardening? And if I can shortcut the pain for some people, so there's a little less error for future generations. Yeah. So here are my tips, and they're in absolutely no particular order. So the first thing is, and the first couple are like a bit technical, but then we get more into the fun stuff. So the first thing is, understand what soil you have. And I know this sounds incredibly nerdy and really, really dull, but soil is like, everyone's soil is different. And having worked in like over 200 gardens, I can totally tell you I've never come across two gardens with the same soil. In the same way, our body shapes are different, our hair colour might be different, our skin colour might be different, our abilities might be different. Soil is almost as personal as we are. But there are some basic types like clay or chalk or sand, are the basic three kind of soils that we have. And you can very easily find out what type of soil generally you have by getting some soil from your garden, giving it a bit of a water, putting it in your hands with gloves on if you don't like the muck, and seeing if you can roll it nice and damp into a ball and then into a sausage. And if you can roll it into a sausage, it's likely you're going to have some degree of clay in there. If you can't even get to the sausage state, you're likely to have sand, you know, beach sand, think
it's
about
just going to break apart, is it?
It's exactly going to break apart. And then, but if you can form that sausage, then sometimes you can try and bend it round into a circle. And if you can, you've very much got very high clay content. And if you don't, you're more likely to have kind of like a chalky loam mix. And the reason why I wish I'd known about soil, it means that so many different plants like different types of soil, in the same way that me and my friends look completely different. So if we both went to the same shop and looked at the same t-shirt, thought, oh, that looks amazing, it would look brilliant on one of us and totally wouldn't work for someone else.
Yeah.
And so when we see all these lovely pictures of all these lovely plants and flowers, it's really tempting to think, I want that, and just buy it. But if we don't understand our soil and what our soil is telling us that it likes, we're just throwing our money away. So that was the first top thing I wish I'd known. I wish I'd known what my soil was. And then the second one is, again, is a techie one, which is, I wish I'd known whether I had a sunny garden or not. And that sounds very silly. But again, a lot of gardens, and my first garden was a tiny, tiny terraced house, and it was like a sliver of a garden, and it was mostly very, very shady. But I didn't realise that. I just thought I would kind of wander around garden centres and pick up plants, which I thought just looked nice, or I liked the colour, or I liked how they looked, and I'd plant them, and they would die. And I didn't realise, I didn't know my soil type, but I didn't know how much sun I had. So you can work out how much sun you've got either by looking on some kind of online guides, will tell you roughly how much sun you have, or you can just set time on your camera on a sunny day in the summer months, take a photo once an hour, every hour, and that will tell you exactly what parts of your garden get sun and what doesn't. And again, it's about how those plants thrive, because plants thrive when they're in their best natural environment. And it'd be like putting me indoors all day would basically not be good for me. I probably live, but I wouldn't be thriving. Whereas if you put someone who really liked being indoors outside all day long,
Like me.
again, exactly. If I put you outdoors all day long, again, you'd probably survive, but you wouldn't thrive. So it's about working
Wouldn't.
out what's going to thrive best in your environment. So those are my two kind of techie things, and they're both relatively easy to do. But if you're starting out, that will save you so much time, so much money, and so much heartbreak. However, my next tip is understand plants will die and it is not your fault. And this is a one I get time and time again. People say, oh, I'm a terrible gardener. I just kill everything. I just can't keep plants alive. I just kill everyone plants. And I say, well, what kind of plant? Well, tell me what's happened. And quite often it might be a really tricky plant to grow, or it might be in the wrong conditions, as we've talked through. And quite often people say, I can't even keep a house plant alive. And Dave, I think house plants are some of the hardest plants to grow because you have to do flipping everything for house plants. You have to water them, you have to feed them.
Yeah.
They're very high maintenance. So, and a lot of people think they can't garden or they're not gardening because they've had a house plant which has died, and it's absolutely not you. A lot of it is just really, really, sometimes it's just the plant is sold to us as being, low maintenance or whatever, but it might not be quite the case, or it just might be the wrong plant in the wrong place. So understand, and the funny thing is, when I meet up with my fellow professional gardeners, all we talk about is what plants we've killed and why they might have died. It's fine that plants die. It's just being curious about why. Was I pushing it? Didn't it not have enough moisture? Or was it not quite the right soil conditions? We're always endlessly curious and inventing and trying to push to see what plants can do. So failure in gardening is part of the process. So it can be really disheartening. You can mitigate or kind of make sure that you kind of minimize how many plants just die, but it is just part of gardening. It's part of the circle of life. And some plants just live for a much shorter time than others. And that could be heartbreaking. But also, it means that if plants do die, that's an opportunity for something else. So it's a bit of a, what do they call it now in the schools? A growth mindset. You have to adopt a bit of a growth mindset when you come to gardening. But don't worry about perfection. Just enjoy learning what does grow and what really grows well for you and what doesn't. Have you ever come across that, Dave, in your line of work when you started out on radio? Did you find it was mistakes made and
Oh,
how you feel about
absolutely.
them? Yeah.
I think just generally in life, isn't it really, that you think, oh, if only I'd have done that different, or yeah, but what you said about plants, I suppose when you buy plants from places like B&Q, and so it's like when you buy pansies and they look all, they're already flowered, they look all nice, but how long have they been like that? How much longer will they last?
Exactly. And it very much depends. So quite often some plants will not last long, and the best period of flowering has been in a warehouse somewhere. And
Yeah.
it might be a heated, or it might be, very, very, very kind of sheltered. I see this quite often with bedding plants. Quite often the supermarkets kick out loads of bedding plants, and I'm like, it's still a little bit frosty. They'll be fine in the supermarket, but will they be okay in your gardens? So it's looking at, I know it sounds, this is my next bit, which is my next question, which is read the label. Plants come with a label for a reason. Sometimes they don't have a huge amount of information on them. Sometimes they do. They might tell you what type of soil are good for them, or whether it's full sun or part shade. It might tell you what, how, where to space them in your garden, or what temperatures they like. But there's quite often a lot of information. But if you ever don't get enough information because you're just in Tesco and you see pansies, you can just Google it or use whatever form of online search engine you wish. Just to say, how long do pansies last? Or my top tip is there's something called the RHS, which is the Royal Horticultural Society. It's a very, very posh sounding society, but they have an amazing plant database, which is completely free. You don't have to sign up to anything. So if you put into your search engine just the name of the plant and put in RHS after it, it will take you to that page, and that will tell you, does it like chalk? Does it like sand? Does it like clay? Does it like sun? How big will it grow? What temperatures can it cope with? And that's kind of like the best source of information. So if you're ever worrying about things, you can always go there. But reading the label rather than just thinking, oh, that looks brilliant, is another way of kind of cutting your losses.
Absolutely.
Another one I find quite often is people say, I don't know what a plant is. I don't know what is a plant and what is a weed. And I remember this.
Well, I can
And
grow a
I've had,
weed, but I can't grow a
yeah,
plant. I know
well,
that.
exactly. Well, do you remember when we talked about, we've had the podcast about weeds, and like a weed is just a plant growing in a place you don't want it to.
That's right, yeah.
Exactly. So a lot of it is a bit of kind of trial and error. But the good news is there are lots of really good phone things on your phones these days. If you use most smartphones have an inbuilt kind of picture detector. So if you're not sure, you can normally just take a photo of something and just take a photo, and there'll be a way of working out what name it is, and that will tell you, you know, is it a weed, is it like chickweed, or is it a nettle, or is it something which is planted. The most sorrowful cases I hear are people who've you know, diligently and gone through and weeded out loads and loads of actually really valuable and lovely plants because they thought they were weeds, or vice versa, people leaving things and thinking, oh, that looks really pretty, but actually it's a pretty invasive and nasty plant to deal with. So understanding what the plants are, just being curious, and it takes a long time to learn plants. I totally get it. When I started out, I literally didn't know one end of a rose from another. I was plant blind. We call it plant blindness. We just see plants rather than individuals. But it's like learning anything. I think it probably takes me about 50 times to learn a new plant by a plant name. So, you know, if you do want to get curious, you can, but in whatever way makes sense to you. Start off with your own plants in your own garden is the best way. There's no point going off and learning lists unless you want to go and study, but just like working out, right, that's a rose, that's a daffodil, that's a tulip, and just build up your knowledge from there.
Well, if you're not sure, call in the experts, didn't you? Call yourself.
Indeed, indeed. We do a lot of plant ID. So when we do garden editing, quite often we're going around and people say, is that a weed or is that a plant? And we tell them, you know, oh, I'd leave that, I'd keep that. So we don't try and say everything is a weed, but you're saying, you know, keep those. Those are really good. Oh, I wouldn't. I'd take that out if I were you, because that'll rampage through. We're always really happy to help people because we totally know. I remember when I started, I had no idea. I literally called in the experts myself and I said, I've got a new garden. When I moved to my new garden, I was like, there's stuff here, I just don't know what it is. Can you just come and talk it through with me? And it was really, really helpful to work out what was a really nice plant, and what was actually a problem in my space. So that's how to kind of deal with, oh my goodness, I don't know plants. Yeah, I totally hear you on that. I would also, if you're new to it, and if I had my time again, I would start small. Start with one small thing, whether it's growing a sunflower, or planting up some bulbs. Just doing one thing can help build your confidence. It's very easy to think, oh my goodness, there's just so much out there, I could never learn any of it. Like all knowledge, we build on what we've done before. And if you've never done a thing before, just, you know, trying one small thing can really help. I remember the first time I grew anything from seed, I grew tomatoes. I grew far too many because, again, that's a total rookie error. So you've got a lovely seed packet with like 200 seeds. You know, you trust me, you do not need 200 tomato
200
plants.
tomatoes, yeah, that's right. Well,
Exactly.
200 tomato plants, I should say, not 200 tomatoes.
Exactly. My house was turning into an absolute steam fest. It was
And I bet
ridiculous.
you didn't even like tomatoes, did you?
Well, you're exactly right. And I think, why am I doing this? Do I even like tomatoes? But starting small and achievable can make you feel like you've got a win in. So, you know, just treat yourself gently. Not don't think there's and quite often I find people find that there's a very knowledgeable family member or a mother-in-law or someone who knows everything, and it can feel like, oh, I'd never learn as much as them, I'll just let them get on with it. But sometimes that means we can just feel really disheartened, and we just don't know what to do. So if you can do something just for yourself, that's really good. Take ownership of something. But don't be afraid to call in the experts. Again, when I started out gardening, I was going through a really rough patch in life, and I literally said to a gardener, I said, can you come round and just make me not feel sad when I look out of the window? And she said, what do you mean? And she said, it just feels over. I just don't know what I don't know. Can you just make me not feel sad? And she was great. It was really, really good. It was really useful money that I spent. And it helped me then start to see away from the overwhelm. and start to see what I actually had in this garden, rather than just feeling, oh my goodness, I just don't know where to start. So knowing, getting help, either paid help, or my other top tip is make friends with other people who know about gardening. Quite often you might find there's a neighbour who's keen to share their knowledge. It's a nice way to get to know your community. And there's increasing community and plant people online, on all the social media channels or things where you can really help kind of demystify some stuff. Like all things online, you might want to fact check a bit. Some people know more than others. It's a bit tricky sometimes to work out. But just asking, if there's a neighbour who you can see out in their garden all the time, you can say, oh, that's lovely. What's that plant? And quite often people are wanting to share and pass on that knowledge. And that means you can get plants for free. You might get little swaps going. And it means you're not having to kind of spend all your time worrying by yourself. Gardeners are really generous with their time and their expertise. We love helping other people learn because that's how we all did it ultimately. So making pals with people who do the same thing or are going through the same thing or have gardened in your area before, particularly if you're new to a particular area, you might not know the soil, but they will say, oh yeah, this grows like the clappers around here. Look here, have a bit. Brilliant. Lovely. You've made a new plant friend, you've made a new plant, all for the price of a quick chat. So it's a bit about building your community. I wonder if that's the same when you do community radio days. Like, how do you might have to encourage other people. You can't do everything by yourself, I guess,
Well,
can
it's
you, in a
just
radio
net.
station?
I suppose it's just like plant networking, isn't it, really?
Yes, yeah. I mean, networking's got a horrible name, isn't it? It makes me feel a bit sick on the inside, and like I might have to wear a lanyard and like drink bad
Bad
wine
coffee.
somewhere and talk to people. Indeed, indeed. But it's just talking, and I think in a world of AI, we have to just re-remember how human we are and how we thrive on connection.
Yeah,
Community
absolutely.
connections like this, or growing your own network, or branching out, if there's any kind of metaphors we can use. So I would say, find people and grow your network. There's often quite good community groups. So I run a community group where we meet in our village once a month and we garden together, no experience necessary, and we all learn together and we swap tales and we swap plants sometimes. And it's a really nice way of helping increase all our knowledge and just make friends and things like that. And then my other final parting thought was, nature is a great healer. She can look after our mental well-being, our physical well-being, but also it's very hard to kill some plants. Some plants are a little bit more fussy, but other plants are really hardy, and most things want to try and grow. So if you feel like you're struggling, you can just let nature take over a bit of time. If you've got a life crisis, something else is going on in your life, and you don't think you've got time for your gardening, gardening is very patient. I always say we garden 50% of our gardens, and nature gardens the other 50%. There is the rain, the sun, that happens without any input from us. So if it feels all too much, just take the pressure off yourself. It's supposed to be a nice thing, it's supposed to be a fun thing. So if you ever feel like you're getting stressed or worried about it, just take a breath, take a step back. Let nature take its time and work on the garden as hard as you are. So that's just a big permission slip, just to step back sometimes. It's fine. It's a garden. It's lovely. But we can't always be there all the time for our gardens. But our gardens will be there for us when we need them, when we want to come back to them.
Well,
So
I suppose it's also just go if you think your garden needs a lot of work, just go in and do one thing. Just one thing.
Just one thing, just one thing. And I was to say, make that thing small but high value, because there is no point weeding right at the back of your garden where no one's going to see it. If you've only
No.
got 5 minutes, weed right outside your back door. You've heard my phrase sed fop, haven't you, before?
Yeah.
Small effort, disproportionate feeling of pleasure. So whether that's potting up some bulbs, whether it's giving the lawn a mow, or whether it's just weeding for 5 minutes, just doing one thing, and you never know, it might lead to you to spending a bit more time out there. But quite often it's that I don't know where to start. So just start, just do one thing, just promise yourself 5 minutes, and before you know it, doing it, you're living in the solution, as my American sister-in-law would say.
Live in the dream.
Living the dream indeed. So I hope that helps. I'm sure there's other, I'd love to hear from other people listening about what they wish they'd known, but that's what my reflections are so far. But I'm still
I
learning. I
wish
may
I'd
be.
known Claire, the garden editor. That's why when I
Oh.
start when I started my
Well, that's
garden.
my.
Well, not my gardening because I don't really do it, but
Yeah.
you know,
Well,
yeah.
that's why I set it up, because I wish when I'd started out, I had had someone to say, oh, yeah, cut that back, move that, that'd be fine, that'll do that way. And that's kind of why I set it up, because I thought, I think a lot of us don't grow up gardening and we don't really know what we're
No.
doing. And we ask for help. We have cleaners, or we might have help in our in other areas of our lives. So why not in our gardening lives as well?
And after all that, the first thing to do is get some mud in your hands and see if you can make a sausage out of it. So
Exactly.
obviously your student loan didn't go to waste, did it?
Yeah. Just play around a bit with mud.
Yeah,
That's
that's
the
right.
starting
Yeah.
point.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, before you go today, what's your song for this week then?
Well, I have to credit you for this one, because I think this is an absolute banger and you totally nailed it for this one. But the song I'd like to celebrate all our beginnings and our many, many trials and our many trials and errors and all the plants we killed, but all the plants we cherish along the way, is Absolute Beginner by David Bowie.
Thank you very much, and we'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Radio.